Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor for the Union Tribune. Here we are on a Friday morning. I am in town. I'm taking the weekend off. Got some family things going on. Jeff Sanders is in Colorado, so we will have our coverage, our usual extensive coverage. I don't know about usual. I mean, you know, but no. Jeff will work tirelessly to cover the Padres this weekend, and it will be awesome coverage. And then, you know, I don't even know if I need to come back, Ryan, you know? I just don't know if I need to even come back. I think they'll be just fine. Padres Rockies, I got to tell you, it's a tough place to play. It really is. But the Padres have reached a point in the season where you're out of excuses, especially when you're facing Denelson Lamet on Sunday. But there's a lot to talk about besides the series against the Rockies, who are in last place, you know, just a little bit behind the Padres. Ryan, where do you want to start?
I want to start with that coffee mug. That's where I want to start. Who is on that coffee mug?
Granddaughter, grandson. It's the greatest thing ever.
That is spectacular.
It is. It makes me laugh every time. What makes me laugh is when she sees that I'm drinking out of it and she tells me who's on there.
That is awesome. Kevin, this is like the third straight time we've said, oh my God, this series in early June is huge. But it is. And one of the reasons why this series against the Rockies, again, a bad team that you should beat in Denver, one of the reasons why this series is so huge is because, as you wrote in today's UT, the next month is huge. This is, and I don't think either of us are being hyperbolic when we say this, one of the biggest 30-day stretches, give or take, in the history of the San Diego Padres. Tell me why.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, that feels weird to say. It really does. And I know, you know, one of the problems with where we live today, this time we live in, is everything's great. Everything's huge. Everyone's the king. Everyone's the queen.
The goat.
Everyone's the goat.
Yep.
And so when, as someone who tries to keep things in perspective, I consider that a huge part of my job. When I make a statement like that, this is a big month, when I try to put some perspective on, hey, this is where the Padres are at, then I'm a doomer, right? I'm the guy who's been doing like this every day and giving perspective for so long. And so I'm just trying to say like, this is a big month, but okay. Right. That's right. I'm a doomer. Anyway.
You didn't say that in 2019, Kevin. No, you weren't coming out and saying, hey, they better start winning games or else, you know?
And there you are. And you just nailed it. Why is it important? Because this team's supposed to win.
Right.
Like this team's supposed to win, and it was designed to win. It was built to win. And a part of its long-term vision was based on winning now. Like you have invested all of this money over the next 11 years. And a lot of that, the last few years of that, will be Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, and Xander Bogaerts. Xander Bogaerts and Manny Machado will be, I'm talking about like the last 4 years of their contract. So it'll be 2030 to 33. And they will be both in their age 37, 38, 39, and 40 seasons. All right. Fernando Tatis Jr. will be, you know, 6 years younger than that. So that's cool. You would hope that he would still be in his, you know, the latter stages of his prime would be your best hope. That's going to be a lot of money. Like we're talking about like almost $100 million for three players, two of them well past their prime, almost certainly.
Right.
So what you've done is say that's okay, because we think right now we have built a team that is going to compete for World Series and hopefully, quite honestly, win World Series so that we can keep selling out. We can keep being popular. We can keep expanding our sponsorship and advertising revenue.
A new TV deal, by the way. Get a new TV deal while you're at it.
Or some sort of streaming deal that, you know, actually makes money and works for everybody. But if not imperative, it's really close. Like I don't have any doubt that they'll keep wheeling and dealing and scheming to try to keep this thing going. But like this plan was supposed to work. This plan, this roster, this 200, what is 47 million now with these players was supposed to work. And if it doesn't work now, there's going to have to be some like rethinking of that. I mean, there's just, I, I'm, I, And we all knew it. Like, we all knew it. I wrote a story in early February, quoting CEO Eric Grubner, acknowledging they're not profitable yet. Like, I was seeing things yesterday saying that, like, I was a hypocrite or something because I'm the guy who wrote that they were putting into revenue sharing. You know, there's a difference between revenue and profit. Like, yes. But right. That doesn't mean you're making money. You've right. got to win and win and win. You could start making some money. Well, they're in their second year. They went to the playoffs last year. They sold a lot of tickets. Do the math. They're not paying Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, just what they got in their season ticket increase. Okay. There's just a lot of money going out. And right. so, sorry, it was a long-winded answer, and I would ask people to read the story in its entirety and take it into context.
And I'm with you. Well, and one of the reasons, Kevin, I think that it's important to reiterate this. One of the reasons why the Padres will have signed Xander Bogaerts and Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis well into their decline years is because they wanted an average annual value that would allow all three mm-hmm. of these guys to play on this year's team. Mm-hmm. Is that they wanted to essentially stretch that money out so that you could be competitive, not 9 years from now, but today. The mm-hmm. reason why this team has Manny Machado, Juan Soto, Yu Darvish, Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis Jr., superstar after superstar after superstar, unlike anything ever seen in the history of the San Diego Padres, is because they were able to sign these long-term deals where they're not killing them year to year. The focus is to win now. I don't know, and I've seen some of the criticisms too. I mean, you got to start winning at some point. And I think that your opinion, and we've talked about it on this show over and over and over, I mean, your opinion is still that this can get turned around. But, I mean, your headline was essentially got to start winning now. I don't know any Padre follower who wouldn't agree with that sentence right now, which is it's a little too late to say it's early, you know? So it's crazy. And, of course, as we all drew it up, on a team full of superstars making $30 million each per year, the Padres' best player the last week has been Gary Sanchez. Tell me about him. I mean, Kevin, I was with you last week, and God, was it earlier this week? Earlier this week, Gary Sanchez hit a ball into the outfield that looked like a tee shot. Hmm. It was still rising as it hit the stands. This is a guy who, when he hits it, ball flies, and is somebody who is at one point was an elite power hitter in baseball and is showing some glimpses now. How is he helping this team, and what is he doing differently?
Yeah, I think we forget how good he is, or how good he was, I should say, and maybe still is. That's the beauty. Maybe the Padres are getting what they've been giving, which is a player leaves and leaves the Padres and finds at least a short renaissance somewhere else, or maybe a long renaissance somewhere else. And Gary Sanchez, I don't know how long this will go on, but what is he, 9 for 29? He's got 4 homers, 2 doubles. So that would be 4 times as many home runs as any other Padres catcher, 1 more than the other 3 combined. It has been absolutely fantastic. Pitch calm definitely helps a guy handle the pitching staff. He's come in. You are probably going to be at your sharpest, maybe not your best. Maybe you press, maybe whatever, but like at the beginning of your time with a team, you're probably going to be at your sharpest. And especially if you're a guy like Gary Sanchez, who basically knew that you sort of had to earn your keep to be mm-hmm. on this team. You remember that, right? Like at the right. beginning, it was like, yeah, we'll ride this as long as it goes. If he hadn't done well, who knows how many more days he'd have left with the team. Sure. Like this was, he knew he needed to do well. So kudos to him for doing well. But I started that little tangent about being the sharpest because he's playing really good defense. Mm-hmm. And that's been a knock on him. Now, he was good defensively early in his career. I didn't follow Gary Sanchez. Not exactly sure what happened, but he was considered to be much mm-hmm. better. And he's been playing. He's been a godsend. He absolutely has been a godsend. And so you're right. When he hits it far. And that's how he used to be. Mm-hmm. You're the one who brought up the stat on the last show that at it was whatever it was at the time. It was when they were at 312 games. Like Tatis has the most or the third most career homers through the first 312 games of his career. And the guy right behind him, one home run behind him, it was Gary Sanchez. That was 2019. He was played his 300 and whatever, 12, 13, 14th game. And he was, to that point, one of the most prolific home run hitters through the first 315 games of his career. That says something. What happened since then? I don't know. But here he is, four home runs in 28 plate appearances, 27 plate appearances. Phenomenal.
Yeah, that'll play. That'll play in the big leagues. And on a team, I mean, I think, too, what makes his appearance and his productivity so important for them is I'm not sure he needs to continue this pace all year long. It would be the greatest story in the history of baseball if he did. He just needs to carry them for a short while, presumably until Xander Bogaerts has a healthier wrist or decides or hits, till Manny Machado starts to turn it around. And there are signs, at least to me, Kevin, that he is. This is just, if everybody else starts doing what they're supposed to do, we may look back at this Gary Sanchez thing as, hey, he carried them during a really dark time in their season.
A winning team does have that happen, right? Like Rougned Odor, Gary Sanchez, like that's what happens for a winning team a lot of times. We see it with the Dodgers almost year after year that there's someone. What I've always maintained is that, yes, but Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, you know, continue to hit, right? Justin Turner who was there, over the last 3 months of last season was fantastic, was himself. Trey Turner, when he was there, Will Smith, they had four guys with 800 plus OPS last year. Freeman and Betts are having, good years this year. So it's still about those guys, but absolutely it is, it helps. It is almost necessary that you're going to have a Sanchez, do this for you for a little while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's been to see some productivity from the catcher spot. It's been nice. Keep in mind, Austin Nola had one home run and that one home run was in Mexico, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a line drive. It probably would have been a double. Who knows? Maybe it would have been an out, but yeah.
Speaking of elevation, they go to Denver. This is a team that has alternated good offensive performances with bad offensive performances. Kevin, if they score one or no runs tonight, we'll know that this streak of theirs is real, right?
Right. I didn't get a chance to go back. I know they've been shut out there. There are things called shutouts happen in Coors Field, but it's been a while for the Padres since that's happened to them there. And the place is tamed a little bit in recent years. But yes, it's no Mexico City, but it still is. When all the dust settles at the end of the year, it's one of the top two offensive parks in the majors.
Sure. One of your favorite places to visit, right?
Well, thankfully, my granddaughter's birthday was this weekend because, yes, it's such a beautiful park. It's a gorgeous park. Baseball there, I'm not going to say it shouldn't be played a mile high because good for Denver. They have a baseball team. I think that's neat. But it's just ridiculous.
It's just different.
The airport is a disaster. So
it's the airport. Oh, it's the airport. I had never thought of the airport.
Yes, we were talking about now. We're talking about now nine games. They went not. See if I can do this off the top of my head and if I got it right. 9-1, 10-1, 11-1, 6-1, 5-1, 10. 9-1, 10-1. I put an 11 in there and there was not an 11. They went 9-1, 10-1, 6-1, 5-1, 10. Right. That's amazing.
Every other game they're scoring one run, and that would be tonight, right?
Yes.
That would be tonight.
Wow. Now, those were all in 9 days, so maybe the day off cured the spell.
Right. That's a great point. But, doesn't that bring up a very larger question, which is, who are they, right? Are they the team we saw Wednesday? Are they the team we saw Tuesday?
It's a drastic example of what's been going on all season. Right. It was like a couple games in a row or something like that, right? And then, what happened? But yeah, this has been a drastic, illustration of how incredibly inconsistent they are. Yeah. And, inconsistent is not a good thing when it plays out over this long. Right. It just isn't. A lot of guys haven't seen anything like it. Some say they have. I don't know if they really ever been part of a team this inconsistent. I don't know. But it when a guy does say, hey, oh, yeah, I've been on a team like this before, it lets you know at least like that's what it feels like to him. Baseball is a messed up game, man. It is just a really difficult game to have consistency in, which is why we revere the 56 game hit streak and a 400 season the way that we do. It is to me that it's far more remarkable than 70 home runs or whatever. To be able to do it day after day after day of getting two or three hits, it would be absolutely remarkable, especially in today's game.
Sure. And baseball history and Padre history is filled with guys who are great in stretches, right? You get, if you're in the big leagues, it's because you're capable of being great in stretches. To be good day after day, week after week for a season is a really hard thing to do.
And now, to put together like Manny Machado did last year at the beginning of the year, a couple months, and at the end of the year, a couple months. And guess what? At the end of the year, you've got a 298 batting average and an 850 OPS. Mm-hmm. Like, That's baseball. Sorry. I don't like, you know, I know that's a cliche. That's baseball right there. That's generally what the good players do. Maybe not like that, two on, you know, two with, we had his injury and then two at the end, but like you don't do what these guys have been doing, which is having 0 for 20s.
Right. And Manny Machado himself has said to you, it's the great players that can keep an 0 for 5 or 2 for 10. From turning into 1 for 30, right?
Right. And you know what? The last three games, we had an 0 for in the middle of multi-hit games, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. 0 for's, that happens. That's fine. Three strikeouts in a game, that's fine. That happens. Come back the next day, have a couple hits, and that's the Manny Machado that they're looking for.
Right. He did a couple of things, and Kevin, maybe this is just recency bias, but I saw some things Monday. I mean, using all fields, hit a ball right, I think it was to right center, sort of one hop the fence. Seemed like exit velo was good. Seems like he was seeing the ball better and hitting it hard. Is this a step up from where he was, you think, pre-injury?
Yeah.
Or is it too soon to say? Could be too soon to say.
No, it sure looked like it. It was three games, but yes, right. It sure looked like it. Here's where, like, this season has discombobulated me. Manny was like clockwork. Mm-hmm. Where in past seasons, that's all you needed to see was three games of Manny Machado playing like that. And you said, yep, okay, Manny's about to go on a heater.
Yep, here he comes. Right.
Well, earlier this year, we saw a couple games like that, and then he didn't. I'm telling you, like, well, he's one of the examples that I would use this year that has sort of just thrown me off that, especially over the previous 3 years. You just knew he wasn't chasing anymore. The exact same pitch, he wasn't missing repeatedly on pitches that he should hit, and it was just that easy swing that got 107.5 miles an hour off the bat. You know, to right center, and that just hasn't happened this year. So I want to say yes, Ryan, because you're right about how he looked, but you know, we'll see. The guy that I mean, the other day. What Juan Soto did twice, basically looking like he put the ball exactly where he wanted to,
right,
to get a single.
Right.
That is like the Juan Soto that like Juan thought he was going to be this year, right?
Right.
Especially with no shift, he was excited about. Like, you know, it's a little harder to put a ball through wherever if guys are standing there, three of them are standing there or whatever. He was excited about having up the middle. But he put two balls to the left side that he basically said, it's two strikes. This is what I need to do with this ball. And he did it. And right. We've been seeing it build to that. He also stroked a ball. It was the double. But he also had a single that was like hit as well as any double. That was just a really good day. Duh, five hits. But that Juan Soto, I'm not sure that Juan Soto has the I will carry the team on my back. I don't know. I haven't seen that. I know the numbers, you know, but in terms of that Manny Machado, that Tatis, where there's eight games and he's got six homers and, you know, four doubles in there. And, you know, they won because of Manny Machado or Fernando Tatis. I don't know. But Juan Soto is a guy who, man, he helps you win like virtually every day, or he can if the guys around him are hitting.
Yeah, a 900 OPS. I mean, again, a bad month and a half and a 900 OPS in now almost mid-June. I mean, to me, that's what's just so impressive. And I know he was always reaching. Even when he was struggling, he would walk. It's crazy. For those of you not watching, our producer just put a stat across the bottom. And Kevin, I know you've said this before, but it is so jarring to me that this team is something like 26-4 when it scores at least four runs and 2-28 when it scores three or fewer runs. So the magic number every day is four. If they can just score four.
Still below league average. I mean, you can say it's league average. It's like 4.55 is the league average. Right. So don't even have to, because you can't score a half a run. Just to be clear, they haven't changed the rules that much. But yeah, basically get to league average, and it's mind-boggling. How about this? Get there 10 more times, right? Like, don't even, you know, just get there five more times and you're above 500 possibly, right? Yeah. I'm not sure which one is more shocking, the 26-4 when they score four or more, or the 2-28. I'm pretty sure that it's now, John, not to call you out, but I'm pretty sure that's updated because I remember writing that it's 3-28 and because it's 31 of each.
Yeah, let's not shortchange them, John.
Right, so 3-28 and 27-4. Right. So it's hard to keep track.
One place where you're most often assured of scoring four runs or more is Coors Field. And so let's get into the Rockies a little bit. You know, three-game series starts tonight. You've got Yu Darvish pitching against Austin Gomber, who's been pretty horrendous, ERA of 7. You go into Saturday, you've got Ryan Weathers. Again, it feels like a big start for him. He's been pretty up and down against Kyle Freeland, who's frankly stuck it to the Padres in the past. Then you get to Sunday, and it's Blake Snell versus old friend, Denelson Lamet. I mean, this is a series of Padres. It would do them well to take two of three or sweep this series, I think.
Yeah, you know what? That'd be really cool for them. Now, they took two of three the final series there when they were finally playing better. But what was it? At one point, they'd lost like the 10 in a row, and it was, you know, at Coors Field. But yeah, first off, it would be they won two of three at Coors Fields, you know, or I guess first off, it'd be they won two of three, won another series. But yeah, and again, Gomber, they have handled him pretty well lately. He's not having a good year. Freeland is tough on him. Fine. Okay, whatever. You know, he's good, but, you know, it's winnable game. Snell doesn't like Coors Field. He's pitching very well. And Denelson Lamet. Like, I honestly had lost track that Denelson Lamet was back in the rotation, or I don't know if that's a bullpen game or what.
No. Recently returned to the rotation.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you for doing your research. Come on. I mean, yes, without a doubt. And here's why. And here's where, like, my perspective, which is generally like, hey, it's baseball season. Well, it's shrinking because you put yourself in this spot. So now it's like, these aren't playoff games by any stretch. That's laughable. But it's a little bit like, no, we can't lose today. Like, no, we're facing Austin Gomber. We're not losing today. That doesn't mean you're not going to, but like that is what it is, guys. Like, I mean, we're facing the Nelson Lamet today. Got a chance to win this series. You destroy him. Like, that's what this team is supposed to do. And again, as the guy who has offered perspective all along about this is how long the season is, this is what teams have done before, you know, this is why, and trying to explain all this stuff. I mean, we got 100 games to go, and the Padres, you know what, to be safe, got to go 60-40, man. And do you know what that requires? That requires winning every series, or it requires, if you're going to go on a three-game losing streak, having an eight-game winning streak.
Right.
Bob Melvin said it the other day. He's done the math. He knows at some point they got to get to 8-10. Mm-hmm. They got to get to 10-12. They're 9-7 in the last 16 games, and it's their second best 16 game stretch of the season. What were they? I think they were 11-5 that one time that included like the beginning of May. But over a 16 game stretch, they're 100 or they're 62 games in. But take any 16 game stretch. Start with a three-game winning streak and try to put together a 16 game stretch. They're no better than 11-5 in any of them, I think. But I do know this for a fact. This 9-7 that they are is their second best 16 game stretch. 9-7 will not cut it going forward.
Right. You can it's have not going to get it done.
Stretch, but your next one better be 12-4.
Right. Right. And again, we're assuming things and presuming that this team's going to start doing things that it hasn't done yet this year. A sweep in Denver gets you a game under 500. Cleveland coming to town. To me,
another low scoring team. Look, it's bad. The inconsistency, like we've talked about it till like I lose oxygen. I'm getting dumber talking about the inconsistency and why are the Padres struggling? When they do score 9 2 days later, 10 2 days later, 6 2 days later, 5 2 days later, 10, like they're clearly a capable offensive team. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not like they're not right. They're capable. They're not the team that's like, oh man, we got to manufacture runs. Now, good for them. They, even in these games they piled on, they started by manufacturing runs. And I think that is something that they're, it's the latest thing that they're trying to take something from, right? Like if we do this unselfishly and we move the line eventually, you know, but you know what else has happened in those games? Like Toddy had a big day, right? Soto had a big day. Manny had a big day. Like at least one. I forget what the stat is, so I won't say it, but it's alarmingly low. And if I told you it at the beginning of the season, you'd be like, well, that doesn't add up. The amount of times that at least three of the four big four have all had a hit is alarmingly low.
Like a handful of times. Yeah.
They are, especially if other people are going to struggle, they were built for the big four to carry them. Is that unfair? I don't know. Like, you know, it is baseball, but that's the way it was built. And that's why you were given the money.
How many teams in baseball have a big four, Kevin? One, two? It's pretty good to have a big four, I would argue.
Going into this season, four players who over the past three seasons ranked in the top 26 in OPS, none. Four. Most have zero.
Most have zero. To complain that you only have four superstars. You know what I mean? Like, but they have four superstars, which I think is huge.
They have four guys that on their own, like maybe Xander is a Robin, right? Mm-hmm. Soto, borderline Batman, you know.
Batman. Yeah.
Tatis and Machado, Batman. So you got three Batmen and a really good Robin.
Yeah.
Now, he's been hurt. He was playing hurt. Let's cut him some slack there. Mm-hmm. But I think three Batman probably pretty good too. Like you should probably do good. And I don't even watch that. So I'm not sure why I'm going with that Batman all the time. But never seen one.
Never seen, not even the old Adam West one?
Not since Michael Keaton was Batman. And I would say that many people probably don't even know who Michael Keaton is. So yeah.
Growing up in San Diego, there was a TV upstairs at our house that got Fox 11 back when it was just in LA. They would show old Batmans, like Adam West Batmans.
Pow!
It was awesome. I was like 8 years old. It was the coolest thing in the world. And then the Batman movies come out and you're like, oh, he's not this like wisecracking, ironic dude from the 70s. He's Batman, you know? No, it's crazy. Kevin, we're coming up on the 30-minute mark. Last question. We don't need a long answer unless you want to give me one. Coors Field's outfield is massive.
Yeah, it is.
Who's playing center field and who's playing right field today?
I don't see any way you got Gomber, Freeland, Lamet. It's going to be tough to put Tatis out there. I should have asked about that. It's going to be tough. Look, I think there was only one play in the two games that he was out there that he could have made. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that Gershom would have made it. It was one where Tatis sort of froze and didn't come in.
Right.
That's what, when I talk about Gershom, and yes, there's the spectacular plays, center field's a different animal. Mm-hmm. Reading the ball from there versus right is a different animal. I do think Gershom would have got it because that's the play I'm talking about. His reads, his anticipation, his knowing whether he should go in right away. That's what over the last year and a half, year and three quarters, like almost flawless that Trent Grisham has done. Yep. So that he is so much better there. That's no fault. Fernando Tatis Jr. is on his way to winning a gold glove in right field. So right. I'm not knocking. I'm saying that was sort of my thing. Like, yes, you're right. You got to get Grisham out of there. You got to get more production out of there. But you don't just plug and play this guy who just started playing right field, by the way, mm-hmm. and put him in center field. And yes, massive. Look, right field's tough enough to play there. Center field is like, I mean, you feel like you are literally in a national park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we think Petco's big. That's crazy. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin, next time you and I talk, we will be previewing Padres Guardians, which means we get to see a whole lot of former Padres. But first, yeah.
No, I'm just happy that I finally, after a year, I don't think I have said the I word for a long time. Like, say, Guardians now. Last year, it was a real struggle for me. So
I do have to mentally tee that up, which is weird. But yes, Guardians, Padres, starting here next week. But before that, a three-game series between the Padres and Rockies at Coors Field. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.